Hello, I'm Sam Maggs, player of board games and editor of the podcast.
I'm Jamie Adams, professional liar and maker of fudge.
And I'm Ian McAllister, writer, reviewer and podcaster for The Giant Brain, an all-round internet hunk, according to Rory Summers at Board Game Meetings. And this is Brainwaves, bringing you the best in tabletop gaming news. And the headlines for the 27th of May, 2018. It's back to award season, with the Spiel der Jahre being announced, and the Origins Awards. And there has been a huge amount of stuff coming out of Games Workshop recently at Warhammer Fest.
Yes, award season continues, with the nominations for the Spiel der Jahre Awards announced on Monday the 14th of May. There are three categories announced. There is the Spiel der Jahre, whose nominations this year are Azul, Luxor, and The Mind. The Kinderspiel der Jahre, which is Games for Children, whose nominations this year are Emojito, Funkelschatz, and Panic Mansion. And the Kennerspiel der Jahre, which is the more advanced, the connoisseur game of the year. And the nominations for that are Die Quacksalber von Keldlenberg, Ganz Schön Clever, and Heaven and Ale. And also this year, Spiel der Jahre is awarding a special prize to Pandemic Legacy Season 2. Three of designer Matt Leacock's previous games have appeared on Spiel der Jahre nomination lists previously, but have never won, that being Pandemic, Forbidden Island, and Pandemic Legacy Season 1.
So is the special award like the usual thing that happens in the Oscars, where actors and directors get given the award for something that isn't regarded as their best work?
Pretty much, yes.
And they've had to give him a special award to do that, wow.
According to Tom Felber, who is the chair of the Spiel der Jahre, the already brilliant game concept of Pandemic Legacy Season 1 has been developed to a higher level. The designers have invested themselves in creating not only a functioning game system, but also an interesting backstory. Which is fair enough, it has been excellent with the Legacy system. Also, actually, they also release a series of recommendation lists, games that weren't quite as good.
Runners-up, almost.
Some runners-up,
Runners-up to the runners-ups, really.
Yeah, the runners-up. For the Spiel der Jahre, some names that might be familiar are Majesty for the Realm and Santorini, which seems to be causing...
I really want to try Majesty for the Realm, it sounds pretty interesting.
I'd like to try Santorini, it sounds kind of
I'd
nice.
I'd love to play Santorini, yeah.
And also... Brainwave's favourite, Rhino Hero Super Battle, was recommended in the Kinderspiel der Jahre.
Woo! Came close.
Very interesting, again, Tom Felber in his notes, explaining the nominations, was saying there was a lot of games that were turned down this year for, quite simply, shoddy rulebooks. His quote, "Unfortunately, we're increasingly under the impression that ever more very good games are being hastily put together at the last minute in order to meet release deadlines, without sufficient attention being paid to the comprehensibility and completeness of their rulebooks. We have never had to rule out so many in and of themselves very good games as this year, simply because their rulebooks did not meet the quality we expect. We jury members no longer wish to see ourselves in the role of beta testers for rulebooks, which are only made adequate on the second printing run." Damn straight.
Yeah, fair enough. The other set of awards announced recently are that of the Origins Game Fair in the States. This is probably closer to the sort of Oscars of gaming, I would think. There are many categories, board games, card games, collectible games, huge number of nominees across family games, miniatures, role-playing games. There's not a huge number of surprises in this year's nominees. We have Gloomhaven in there. But some smaller games as well, like Tack, an abstract game from James Ernest. A good range of games in there, and Santorini that we were talking about earlier. No other huge surprise in there. I'm happy to see a couple of games that I liked in there. Blades in the Dark and Xanathar's Guide to Everything, both getting a nod over two RPG categories. There are a couple of little oddnesses in the announcements, though. Mountains of Madness from Aiello being announced as a family game is kind of curious, given the theme. And Codenames Duet also announced as a family game, which as a two-player game doesn't seem to really fit into that kind of category.
Seems a bit odd, isn't it? There's a few that I'm kind of looking at, and I think it's that they want to give it an award, or they want to at least nominate it for something, but there's not quite a category maybe it fits into. So they're kind of just putting games in categories that maybe they're not relevant for, but it's literally because, oh, well, we feel it needed to have a nomination, so it can go in there.
I mean, maybe the game, maybe it's not nuanced enough. I mean, like, some, like, the comparison to the Oscars is an interesting one. The Oscars has a huge number of categories over various different things, awarding different bits of filmmaking. And it might be that the Origins Awards needs to be a little bit more nuanced. And certainly as the hobby grows, maybe look to, like, featuring, like, what's the best solo game. For instance, there's a big push for solo gaming at the moment. What's the best two-player game, etc. But obviously that's a lot more work on the part of the committee that announced these things. So who knows?
The public voted Board Game Geek Awards do a very similar thing, where there is loads of categories, and that features things like as you were saying, best two player games, best illustrator, even best.
Yeah.
You name it. There's lots of things there.
And even the Dice Tower Awards that we mentioned last time, again, it has a lot more varied categories for things like small publishers, best kind of two player, get best theming or best artwork, best most innovative, which is quite nice to see. And I guess the reason we keep going on the Oscars of board games, and it's like, well, we don't need the Oscars for the board games. We have these, which each award kind of individually represents a different side of the community in, you know, different facets. And I think that's very interesting. And I guess this is the level of prestige we prescribe onto it, I guess.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Lots of news coming out recently from Warhammer Fest, which took place on the 11th of May. The main news coming out of that festival was the announcement of a new version, a new edition of Warhammer Age of Sigmar, which we interjected very nicely in the previous episode, and a new edition of Adeptus Titanicus as well. Again, following on from the last episode, all these new editions being announced, what do we think? Everyone's doing it.
Well, I think it's a clear indicator that, you know, a change in Games Workshop kind of head several years ago, and you can see the massive change. The focus again on specialist games, on the box games, bringing back things that were really popular and had this massive cult following, and now they come back in box form. So
which this time around is Adeptus Titanicus.
Yes.
So
Games Workshop.
In previous years,
money.
We've had Blood Bowl come out. We've had Necromunda be re-released.
Rumors are Battlefleet Gothic is coming out very soon again.
Completely. So it is just that really responding to the community of saying, look, we love these old games. We have a real community base for them, real fan base for them. And Games Workshop just seem to be delivering that. And to be honest, they do look, it does look fantastic.
Of course it does.
I mean, I think it's cool that they're going back to their old games. And yeah, there is obviously a new ethos at Games Workshop of supporting older games and bringing back out their older properties. Because for a long time, the wider community were looking at them wondering why they didn't want to make money from these very, very, very well-regarded properties. However, I think I'll sound a slight note of caution. It does feel a little bit now like they are really throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks. They also announced a new game called Rogue Trader, which is yet another boxed game skirmish 40k kind of thing, and they haven't really released all the stuff they would said they would for Blood Bowl or even all the Necromunda stuff that is still waiting to be released.
The Blood Bowl announcements seem to be incredibly drip fed. It's every now and again. So they just released the Chaos team. At Warhammer Fest, they announced the Dark Elf team. So it's just dribs and drabs. It seems to be in between the main IPs, that being Age of Sigmar and Warhammer 40k. We'll just put these things out. Because, same like, the community can be resourceful. You know, I'm not sticking up for GW. I'm just saying, we know the community can be resourceful and they can put together a Dark Elf team or any other team that they like. It's just nice. It would be nice to see a bit more love for these games.
Yeah, just a little bit more regular support for the stuff they're putting out.
And one final piece of news from Warhammer Fest. Very, very exciting for the lovers of audiobooks and drama series is that they are releasing Realm Slayer, which is a story revolving around dwarf character Gotrek Gurnison, and he will be voiced by the one and only Brian Blessed.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that.
There's a little clip of it on their announcement page, and it just sounds brilliant. Purely for this role, it sounds like one to check out.
Yeah, we'll link that in the show notes, folks.
Some news coming in from Days of Wonder with a new edition of Ticket to Ride. As always, a new edition of Ticket to Ride.
Well, not a new edition.
Flog that horse.
And why wouldn't you? It is one of the biggest selling modern board games. Mm. And it does seem well loved. This time they're going to New York, 1960s. And it actually seems like they are doing something new with the game, to be honest. Instead of just reskinning it with a new map, which, you know, I think new maps are welcome. Adds a bit of diversity to the game, maybe a bit more replayability for a game that can get very same very quickly. We're going small with New York. So you're given the island of Manhattan. Each player is given 15 taxi cabs, and they claim the game plays in 15 minutes.
15 minutes, that's a bold claim. It'll be at least twice that, right? That's the general rule.
Yeah. Time and a half.
Yeah, time and a half.
20 odd minutes. I mean, I think the different Ticket to Ride maps give, you know, some different rules, like, you know, the United Kingdom gives that almost progression-based system where you start off in England.
Yeah, that's a nice one.
Which is nice to see they're not, that for most of the time, they're not just going, here's just an extra map.
To me, it seems that the newer editions are kind of bringing in a lot more varied mechanics, where initially I think those first kind of map packs, as they sell them, were map packs, very much that, you know, you did see things like tunnels and things being added on, but really in the newer editions there are kind of new mechanics.
They're trying to stretch the formula.
A change of gameplay, yeah.
Yes.
Which is always welcome in something like that.
At the other end of the scale from intro board games like Ticket to Ride, we have the newly announced and on Kickstarter right now, Crusader Kings, making the jump from computer games to the tabletop. This is being put out by a slightly odd choice of company, in my opinion. It's Free League Publishing, who have so far put out a bunch of role-playing games like Tales from the Loop and Coriolis. You can get those through Modiphius in the UK, mostly. But yeah, they've not really released a board game before, so it seems like a slightly odd choice to put out a board game. But yeah, Kickstarter is doing fantastically well at the moment. It is currently on £164,883 of a £42,000 goal. So it is doing fantastically well. Free League have also announced that they have done basically a tie-up deal with Paradox, Paradox being a computer games company, to release City Skylines and Europa Universalis somewhere down the line as board games as well.
I am excited about City Skylines, I can tell you that.
I mean, if it's not better than Suburbia, I don't care.
I had fun with Suburbia, but I think it could have... It didn't quite hit the spot for me.
I really like Suburbia. I have a soft spot in my heart for it.
I'm afraid I've never played it, so I can offer nothing to this.
Well, but no, I do like a good city builder, so that could be
an
exciting
builder.
One to look
when
out for.
When I played Days of Wonder Days of Wonders Quadropolis with you, I remember very much enjoying it.
Dungeon Caller from the Past is coming back to life. It is Claustrophobia reprint coming from Monolith later in the year. Monolith have been responsible for Mythic Battles Pantheon earlier this year, and a Batman miniatures game as well. And now they are looking to bring back Claustrophobia, which is something of a classic dungeon crawler set in the Hell Dorado universe, according to the little bit of information we have about it so far. That's coming in September. It's called Claustrophobia 1643. I have no idea of the significance of the date. We'll see if that is going to be an actual winner. It's regarded very well amongst the community. Never played it myself, but it's got a lot of fans, certainly. This week on Brainwaves, we're going to get rid of our usual brainstorm chat section, and we are instead going to go to the hyperdrive.
Punch it.
Yes, this is a regular segment where we get hyped up about an upcoming thing, and in this case it is going to be UK Games Expo happening in Birmingham NEC on the 1st to the 3rd of June. I'm going, Jamie's going, Sam is not.
I'm not going!
Sam's not going. so UK Games Expo, for those of you who don't know, is the biggest board game festival con in the UK. There's something like 335 exhibitors turning up. There's cosplay, there's seminars, There's role-playing games, there's massive organized tournaments, there's, if you are at all interested in board gaming in any way at all, whether that be casual games to your family and friends, to being a hardcore gamer, there is absolutely something for you at Games Expo.
Yes, and I'm getting
totally, totally hyped for it. It's going to be amazing!
Yeah, sounds good. So, obviously, you guys are going, I'm not going, I don't know what we're going to do for a podcast there. That's sad for me. But, I've never been there. So what should we kind of look out for this year? What's kind of the big news that... What's your hit list, basically?
Well, Sam, I have got a fantastic hit list for you coming right at you right now. First up is Alley Cat Games, and they have a new game called Coral Islands. A dice builder looks fantastic, building up little dice islands. Looks absolutely great. Second up is Bad Cat Games, a Scottish publisher that are releasing Gladiators later in the year, and that is a game of managing gladiators and also bashing the hell out of your friends. So then it is on to Brain Crack Games. They have Dead and Breakfast coming out. There's a little tile there that I'm really looking forward to, and a fantastic sounding worker placement game called The Gig about being in a jazz band. Nice. In at number four is DigiSprite from Dundee, a Scottish games company that I hadn't even heard of until I'd done my preview. They have got a game coming out called Doomsday Bots. I'm really looking forward to meeting them and having a chat with them. In at number five, it's Hub Games, who are the creators of Rory Story Cubes. They have Untold, which sounds like a bit like an intro RPG. Really interested to check that out. And then we have Holding On, The Troubled Life of Billy Kerr. A bit of a mouthful, I have to admit, but it's a fantastically interesting sounding game, a worker placement about retrieving the memories of a dying man. Peeking in at number seven, it's Legends Untold from Inspiring Games, yet another Scottish outfit and good friends of the site and podcast. I'm really looking forward to checking out their almost final copy of Legends Untold, an RPG in a box. In at number eight, it's Sinister Fish. They produced a fantastic removable sticker set for Gloomhaven, and I've just recently been sent their next game called Villagers, which is a little sort of tableau building game of making your own little village. I'm hoping to get that to the table quite soon, maybe with you fine gentlemen. Then next up, it is Games from the Other Side of the World, Taiwan Board Game Design. I know literally nothing about this company, literally nothing, so they are absolutely going to be on my hit list because I love seeing things I have never heard of. At number 9 is my personal favourites from last year, Themeborn, with their fantastic Escape the Dark Castle. They have recently announced a couple of expansions to that, and just today have announced the Collector's Edition, Collector's Box for this game that they're going to be kickstarting from the 1st of June. It looks absolutely fantastic, and they will definitely be taking some of my money. And finally, it's Turtle Dream Games, which is a company I don't know a huge amount about. Irish company releasing a couple of games, but the art style has really dragged me towards them, so definitely check those out. And that's what you should be seeing, Sam, at UK Games Expo.
That sure is a comprehensive guide. Thanks a lot.
That's amazing, Ian. I've got a little bit of a hit list, not as comprehensive as yours, and we've got one overlap. I'm very interested in Holding On, Troubled Life of Billy Kerr as well, Hub Games. It seems very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
That I didn't know about definitely.
Pardon, Sam?
Sounds very interesting. That is one that I had heard of previous to this.
Mm. Just really interesting to see a company trying such a different theme to a game. And that's one of the reasons I go to Expo. It's one of the reasons I've kept my hit list very short this year, is I want to be surprised. I want people to show me something that's really interesting, really new, like The Gig I mentioned in there as well.
I was going
to
say, you mentioned The Gig, and I just immediately went, I want to play this when I'm down there. Oh my
yeah,
God.
Absolutely.
The other two things I'm interested in, I think, are both coming from Phalanx Games, who I believe is a Polish publisher. One is a game called Nanti Narking, which is the reboot, or the reskin, I might say, of Martin Wallace's Ankh-Morpork.
Oh, right, okay.
I'd like to see what they've done with it. I've played Ankh-Morpork a total of once in my life. I did rather enjoy it. I'd like to see what they're doing with the very, not generic, but more standard non-Discworld setting. The other one is U-Boat. Now, this was on Kickstarter several months ago. Right. And it was a bit like Captain Sonar, except it's a cooperative game for 1 to 4 players. You're not playing against other players.
Is that the one with the ridiculous 3D submarine?
That is one with the ridiculously large wooden or something like that 3D submarine, where you are actively navigating, plotting serious courses. You're using an app for the periscope, for the enemies. It sounds very intriguing. If I can get at least one go on that, I'd be very intrigued as well.
Let me know how that turns out. I know that Captain Sonar is collectively, I'd say, one of our favourite games, all three of us. You know, it's something we've played together a few times, and is, again, when you're saying designers showing you something different. You know,
absolutely.
That's exactly what we want to
see. I mean, that's why I go to Games Expo. I go to see new, cool things. I mean, last year it was Escape the Dark Castle for me. That was my hit of the con by a long shot. I'm really looking forward to meeting up with Thomas Pike again, who did an interview for The Brain. We'll put that on the show notes. They're a really interesting up-and-coming company. And there's loads of small companies there. Like I say, there's 355 exhibitors this year, something like that. A few bits of advice. You cannot see everything. Do not try and see everything. You will die. Don't do it. Just pick the stuff you like, float around, have a look at stuff, get your eyes open, have a look around you, try some stuff that's maybe a little out of your comfort zone, because this is the perfect place to do that. If you're not into big crowds, probably avoid the main hall on the Saturday, because it gets really, really busy. I'm going to do that this year, because I didn't get enough time last year.
I'm going to write this down, because as my first year going, I'm bowing down to your superior knowledge. So, can't see everything, and avoid the big hall if you don't like crowds.
Yeah, well, yeah, so like the main hall gets really busy on the Saturday, certainly. Friday, it's not as bad, but they are expecting a lot of visitors this year. So if you're not into the big crowds, hit it early, come away from it around about lunchtime, because it'll get really, really busy.
I think that's some good advice there, kind of. Yeah. Just mainly, you know, the fact you're not going to see everything.
Yeah.
Find some hit lists online, whether that's our hit list or someone else's kind of top 10 things.
I'll put a link to in the show notes. Rory Summers, who's a good friend, put up his one recently, and it's quite different from mine, but yeah.
But I'd say more than anything, I'd say make your con. You know, if you like the look of something, go for it. Have a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. My basic advice, like, I've been to the con a lot. Wear comfortable shoes, wear clothes you're comfortable in, because you're going to be walking around quite a lot. The con is now in two halls of the NEC, so it's a big space. There is the gaming space in the Hilton NEC, the Hilton Metropole as well, hotel. So you're going to be walking around quite a lot of the day, so make sure you're comfortable. Probably bring some water around with you, because stay hydrated. If you're going to be talking to people a lot, like I am, bring some mints with you as well. Take some time for yourself. One of the things I didn't do enough last year was sit down and play games with friends, and that's something I'm planning time for this year. So I'm basically going to avoid the main hall on the Saturday afternoon and go and get a beer and play some games with friends.
That sounds awesome. I know you've wanted.
That's what I'm going to be doing in the afternoon of that Saturday.
I know they're not new games, but I know you've wanted to play Photosynthesis and at least a couple of Oink games. Now I've got Deep Sea Adventure by Oink Games.
Cool.
I mean, they might have it if there's a library. They might have it,
if not, there is an extensive library. It is massive.
Well, then they might have it.
Give Deep
Sea
Adventure a big thumb up.
Yeah.
I'd
love to. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you don't even, like, you could bring your own games on, but there's such a big library that you could easily find most stuff. There's a huge number of vendors as well. Though I would say, like, I don't buy a huge amount of stuff myself at Expo, because I find, like, I can buy a lot of it sort of, like, basically later online from the same retailers. It's very easy to get these things. You might get the occasional good con deal. For the most part, you're not getting, like, crazy fantastic bargains.
I think it's
like
that same thing. It's like, even if you were buying stuff, things are still expensive. This is an expensive hobby, so, you know.
I mean, you can certainly see some cool stuff, and it is good to pick that stuff up, even if you're only going to buy a layer, like, actually handle and have a look at some things. Yeah, I mean, like, there's a big preview on the Giant Brain itself. We'll link that in the show notes. I did four of them this year, highlighting various companies I thought were cool. My final hit list, which we've just run through, doesn't mean other companies I think are terrible. It's just that some of them, I've seen their stuff already, I've seen stuff already, or that stuff's not for me. But that's the awesome thing about Games Expo. Just because something's not for me doesn't mean it's not for you.
And if you had to choose one thing from your hit list that you would say, just people, go and check these guys out, is there anything specifically you think that really sounds exciting?
I mean, for me, it's Themeborn again. I really want to go back and see what those guys are up to, because I think they're a really interesting new outfit, doing good things. They delivered a great Kickstarter campaign. I think sort of along, even with that, it's probably holding on. That sounds really interesting, like a company doing something very different.
Yeah.
Worker placements tend to fall flat for me, so I'm a little worried about that. But if they handle I'm really intrigued by that because I'm
the same with you with worker placement games, that it's kind of, I feel that they're very, I don't want to say samey, but I'm going to say samey. But at the same time, I'm really drawn to story-led games.
Yeah.
And anything that's story-driven and can really give me an experience, quite frankly, you know, like reading a book or watching a film. And if I can have that kind of interactive story, you know, it's why Arkham Horror is such a great game. It's why role-playing is such good fun, you know.
I know, Sam, that you've obviously said, you know, you're not a big fan of worker placements. And in the past, you've called me the worker placement guy. Because
Jamie's the worker placement guy, everybody.
Apparently.
That's his new name.
Okay, that'll be my new title next time. Cool. Yeah, I completely understand. Yeah, it is, you know, very samey in that it is obviously just putting dudes on the map, getting things back. I think what I like about them is how the variation on the theme is what gets me. It's how well they can vary it up, how well they can make things
interesting. I completely get you. When they're done well, they are done well. I do have to give them that credit. But it's just a... I think it's a genre we could have a whole discussion.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Maybe, it's maybe a brainstorm subject, you know, why worker placements are bad.
I am very interested in the gig. If it's being in a jazz band, oh, baby.
Yeah, I'm up for that.
Nice. Anyway, if you want to know more about UK Games Expo, we'll put a link to their site in the show notes. But yeah, just Google UK Games Expo. There's a load of information on there for new people, like where to get hotels, where to eat, that kind of thing. Go in with an open mind. Have a good time. You don't need to be there for 3 days. You don't need to see everything. Go for whatever time you want and see the things that you'd like to see. But also try something different, because there are a huge amount of the gaming hobby there in all its forms.
And let us know how you get on. Let us know your favourite things, and we can possibly have a chat about that.
Yeah, tweet us, get us on Facebook, email us. We'll put all those links in the show notes. Get in touch with us. And if you see me or Jamie wandering around the con, come up and say hi.
Yeah, we don't bite much, honestly. And finally this week, we have a little Kickstarter project that caught my eye, definitely. Orcstabber, one-page RPG for Orcstabbers to tell legends of stabbing.
Well, it's like Ron Seal Quick Trying Woodstain then, isn't it?
Exactly. It seems to be a very simple, almost very silly Orcstabbing role-playing game, funnily enough. For $10 or more, you get the whole thing. Which is, Orcstabber has tons of features like combat system, bigger things equal bigger dice. Health system, if you mess up, you get squished. Advancement, if you survive, you get to be the orc boss. And tags, things.
I really like these tiny little RPG projects that come out. Did you see the Jason Statham's Lovely Holiday one that went out recently?
No. What the hell?
I'll try and find that link in the show notes, but there's basically an RPG where you play Jason Statham and make sure he has a lovely holiday.
Oh my god,
there's like a one about bears stealing honey as well.
Oh, you know, I've got the rules for Honey Heist.
Yeah,
Honey Heist, that's it, yeah.
So, we should do some of these.
Little RPGs are great.
Oh yeah, we should.
We should do some.
Yeah, we could do one live.
I also love about this Kickstarter is that the pledge goal was £14.
Yes.
So
£14 or $20.
It needed two people to pledge, and they're done.
They now have $2,280.
Yeah. So, well done to them.
It's 10,000% funded. Well done to them.
Just sounds good fun.
That's all we have time for this week on Brainwave, so thanks very much for listening. If you like what you've listened to, the best way to help us is to share the podcast around on Twitter or your social media of choice. If you have a fruit-based device, then please give us a rating and review on iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter at The Giant Brain, Instagram, Giant Brain UK, Facebook, The Giant Brain. Our website is giantbrain.co.uk, and you can email us at giantbrainuk@gmail.com. You'll find links to all the news that we've talked about tonight in our show notes. Thanks very much.